You've tuned into the Chris Bean Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Chris Bean Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. It is our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Nope. And that is what we are here to do. We are here to provide you the most interesting headlines, random things that we have found over this past week in all of the news and everything going on in the world.
That's right. We're informative, but we're fun.
Yes.
And that's the key.
And that's the grandiose nature of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Grandiose nature.
I'm going with that.
We are grandiose, aren't we?
Yes.
We are magnificent.
Yeah! I'm a DJ! Yeah, starting off already. See, I'm already beginning to have delusions of grandeur, apparently.
You are a DJ, I guess.
I try to be. Yeah! I'm a DJ!
That's a great clip.
Yeah, that was from last week's episode. Check that out.
Yeah.
But before we dive into this week's batch of news headlines and interesting things to talk about, we just like to, you know, start off with, you know, a little, how are we doing since the last time we were on the show? So, Mike, how are you doing? What were you up to this weekend?
I'm doing pretty good. This weekend, my cousin came over and we hung out for a bit, and I got to watch Gravity again. And it just made me realize how amazing that movie is. I don't know. Do you ever watch a movie a second time and you appreciate it even more in subsequent viewings?
Yeah. I'm always amazed with that with, like, Inception. That movie, just every time I watch it, blows me away.
I've watched that a million times.
Yeah.
But, well, that's what I was doing. I watched Gravity again, and I was just blown away by how amazing it is. So,
there you go.
What have you been up to, though?
I haven't been up to anything really on my end. I've been doing some Netflix catching up on.
Oh, nice.
I'm trying to finish anything Rescue Me.
Oh, Rescue Me, okay.
Yeah, Dennis Leary.
Yeah.
That's a good show.
I've never seen it, but I hear it's really good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Just, you know, 7 seasons, so it takes, like, forever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. that's the problem when you start to binge on a series on Netflix, because when you make that commitment, it's like you have to go all 6, 7, 8 seasons.
Yeah, that's, like, the dual problem you have with Netflix, is that on the one hand, it's awesome that you don't have to wait for the next episode.
Right.
But on the other hand, most of these shows have 6, 7, 8 seasons, and it's going to take forever to knock them out.
Yeah, you don't have to wait for the next episode, but can you stop yourself from watching 12 in a row?
Yeah.
You know, that's the double-edged sword.
Right. So, anyway, whatever. Just a brief little thing about Netflix. I like Netflix. I think it's good.
I think Netflix is amazing.
Yep. We've covered Netflix whenever they've hit the news wire on their news updates and whatever shindigs they've been up to.
You know, I just have to bring this up, just in case anybody still gets the DVDs from Netflix. They stopped mailing them on Saturdays, so you can't get your DVDs on Saturdays.
All right, now, just to clarify, this is only on Saturdays.
Yeah, only on Saturdays.
They still ship DVDs.
Yeah, they still ship DVDs, but not on Saturdays.
No! What am I going to do?
I don't know. Who still gets DVDs, though, from Netflix?
People.
Okay.
Obviously, they have to make that
news bulletin.
Yeah.
It just seems like so long ago when that started, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Remember they used to have the ads about shipping like 2 million DVDs a month and 3 million DVDs a month? And now I wonder what the number is.
Yeah. Jeez. I didn't even know they still did it.
I know. Well, that's why when I saw the headline, I was like, oh, that's crazy. But
we have to cut back.
Yeah.
No Saturdays.
No Saturdays. That's right.
So there you go. If you apparently are addicted to the DVD service of Netflix, I'm sorry.
If you're stuck in 2004.
Yeah. If you haven't progressed to apps and things on tablets and smart TVs and video games. It's Netflix is on video games.
You could probably find Netflix on toasters now. I mean, Don't they have TV? Don't they have fridges with TVs in them now? I feel like that's a thing. Yeah, so you probably get Netflix on your
just in case while you're eating, you know, you need some entertainment.
Well, I mean, most people have a TV in their kitchen, Mike, so you turn away from the TV in the kitchen to the
That 2 minutes while I'm waiting for my bread to become toast is the most painful 2 minutes of my life.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up, Rich, because with the new Netflix toaster, you'll never be away from your shows.
Yeah. Oh, don't you know how painful that is?
I know. I know that pain, Rich. I know that pain.
What do I do for those 120 seconds?
I have to either hit pause or I have to sacrifice some crucial TV time.
What happens if there's no pause button available on my Netflix?
Oh, God, no.
Jeez, come on.
You know, eventually it's going to
happen.
It's going to happen.
I mean, you're right. I've seen that, that there's TVs on refrigerators.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a Netflix app for your TV. Go check your TV, go check your fridges, your refrigerator's app store, iFridge, and download the Netflix app.
Good. While you're at it, download the Crispy Noodle app where
and listen we'll to just, it on your fridge.
Yeah, listen to our podcast. Yeah.
Do I have to add that to the closing spiel?
Yeah.
Download it to your computer, your
or refrigerator.
Or refrigerator. Okay.
Yes. Make a note of that right now. You have to say refrigerator.
I have to say refrigerator.
At the end of our show where we go over all of our links on social media and everything. Yeah. Put that on your list. And
do we have a refrigerator link?
There is probably a podcast app on the TV refrigerator. I can't believe I'm saying TV refrigerator.
Would it be refrigerator TV or TV refrigerator?
Who cares?
Are they putting refrigerators in TVs now?
Why?
Should do it reverse. They should put a fridge in a TV. like a TV with a little cooler on the side of it? No?
Okay.
I don't know.
Jeez.
Well, if they're doing it the one way, why not the other way? Right? Look, if you're too lazy to watch, to go get your food.
You have a tablet. You can bring a tablet from room to room, use the internet, that's it.
But that requires carrying something, Rich.
Oh no, not carrying. My feeble arms can't carry the tablet from room to room.
My hand is only strong enough to push the mouse button over and over again. I can't carry things.
I can have finger strength, but not arm strength.
You watch. There's going to be like a dystopian society where we can only click. We can't hold.
You know, we're going to end up like the societies in like infomercials.
Where people can't do the most basic of tasks.
Yeah.
I always laugh at the one where the lady's trying to carry pasta and she like manages to spill an entire bowl all over the kitchen. Not just in one spot, but just all over. Have you seen that one?
Yes.
She throws it all over the stove.
Yeah. My favorite one is the one where the woman is trying to unclog a toilet.
Oh my God.
And not only is she doing it wrong, but the scene of her where you know, they always have a narrator that says, you know, are you sick and tired of doing blah, blah, blah?
Right.
The moment they cut after the narrator says that, it shows a picture, the image goes to her, and
she's plunging.
She's plunging, and a stream of fecal matter go right across her face. Like, not
a
even
fountain
like,
of feces.
Like, not even like, like just like she's tired or something. It's like brown stuff just goes right up in her face. When's the last time you plunged a toilet and exploding crap came out of you in the toilet? How wrong are you doing the plumbing of the toilet that it's that bad that you're exploding the residue into your face?
You got really upset over this.
Oh, it's so stupid.
It's like if Yellowstone had diarrhea. No, that's what the infomercial is like. It literally is like a jumping water fountain of poop.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh boy. Well, you know what? This is a good way to start off the show. We're 5 minutes in the show. We're talking about feces. Great.
How did we? I mentioned Netflix.
Yeah, we started out with Netflix.
Then it went to we got to refrigerators, which led to infomercials.
I have no idea. You got me on that one.
I am once again astounded by our logic. Or the lack thereof.
Yeah, right. It's lack thereof.
Yes.
By God, what the hell's going on tonight?
All right, that's the Ric Flair cue. That okay. means we got to get back on track.
I know. Whenever Ric Flair shows up to calm us down, you know it's gone off the deep end.
My God, what the hell's going on tonight? I'm the president of the company. If I want to stand out here naked, I'll do it.
You'll do it.
I'm Ric Flair, the president of the United States.
No. Company's
here. Let me sit on you.
Yep, don't mess with Ric Flair. He doesn't even know what he's the president of. All right, so that cue means we got to get back on track. Ric Flair. I love the fact we've established that. Ric Flair means we have to get back on track.
I love it. only on this podcast, right?
Yeah. And we're going to start off our coverage of the latest news with our first segment. It is called the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Yeah, in your face, sports coming at you.
That's right. You know what's been in everyone's face lately, Rich, is this damn World Cup coverage.
Yeah, woo.
But this World Cup coverage is finally coming to an end, though.
Finally!
Because they finally crowned a victor, a winner of the entire shindig, right?
Yep. It took over 100 minutes, actually to be exact, 113 minutes of soccer before finally Germany scored the only goal in the World Cup final to win and defeat Argentina 1-0.
That's a long soccer game.
Yes.
Too long.
Yes. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm sure all the soccer heads were going crazy and everything, but I don't know, man. I can't get into it. Yeah. I really tried to watch this one.
Yeah, you told me that you watched it.
Yeah.
You watched all 113 minutes of it?
Yep. And
really?
You can tell if you follow me on Twitter at Rich Liebig, you can clearly see that towards the end of the second half, I was just in agony. I was like, I was just like, movies last longer than the amount of time that nobody scored in this game.
Yeah.
You know, Reservoir Dogs is 90 minutes long.
Yeah. More happens in, you know, a 90 minute movie than happened in that game.
Yes. And oh my God, I mean, I'm sure to soccer fanatics that means that it was a good game or something, but I don't know. To me, that was just boring.
I don't know how you talk about a game that goes 113 minutes and only scores once.
Yeah.
And what do you say? And they kick, and they kick, and they pass, and they kick, and then they scored, and it's over.
All right. Speaking of the narrators. Yeah, narrators.
The narrators.
That's how bored I was. I wish it was like a story and like
it was a dark and stormy day.
Yeah.
In the middle of Brazil. When the 2014 World Cup finally reached its end.
Yeah.
We go live to the stadium with the other narrators.
Yeah. I meant to say commentators.
Right. Of course.
Anyway, here it is. This is them calling the winning shot. Let me get the guy's name. It was Mario Götze, Goetze. I don't know. I'm probably saying that wrong. We'll find out. I'm sure.
Oh, who scored the goal?
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, this is the call of the winning goal at the World Cup final.
Still full of running, and he's Götze. It's Mario Götze.
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 Götze. I guess is how you pronounce it.
Well, he's German, right?
Yeah. Götze.
Götze.
Well, anyway, there you go. That's the winning call.
Still full of running, and he's Götze! It's Mario Götze!
There you go. And that's all it took. That's all it took. Just that clip wins the game.
113 minutes, and then that.
Yep. Oh, here's something else that was funny that if you go back on my Twitter, you'll find out.
Okay.
I was just so desperate for a goal because at this point, 113 minutes into the game, that's extra time or overtime, like what we would call it.
Right, yeah, because the soccer match only lasts 90 minutes, so this is all extra.
Right,
yeah.
This is extra time. Well, I went into NFL mode.
You went crazy.
Because I was like, oh, that means it's over! But no, in soccer, you have to finish the period out.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So they had to play until what?
120 minutes.
They had to play another 7 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
Not sudden death. Yeah. My brain was just so bored and just in idle mode that I was like, oh yeah, it's over.
Well, you know what, though? Actually, it makes sense that it wouldn't end just there. You know, you got to give the other team a chance to come back. That's what we always complain about in American football, right? About how sudden death doesn't give the other team a chance.
Yeah.
So I can understand. But you know what? At 120 minutes, I mean, come on.
Oh,
now.
Come on. Just end this freaking game.
I mean, football, you know, American football is only 60 minutes, not including all the commercial time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, 60 minutes of actual play. So you're looking at double the length of a football game.
Yeah. And oh, my God. I was just... Also, an NFL game would never end in a 0-0 tie.
Oh, my gosh.
There are
It could. It could.
But it would never.
It would never.
There's no way. There are so many easy ways to score in football. A field goal. A fumble. A safety. There's so many ways besides a touchdown that you can score that you would never have a 0-0 tie. It would never happen.
Yeah, I really don't think that's possible.
But in soccer, oh, God, that's what this was. This would have been a 0-0 tie. And I was just bored during that whole 113 minutes. Oh, God. But you know what? Nevertheless, this is the World Cup. This is what the world follows, which is still beyond my logic, but whatever. Leave it to me to understand the world. I guess I can't. But you know what? Props to Germany. They did it. They are your 2014 World Cup winners. Mario Götze. I forgot how you say his name.
Götze, I think.
He's the hero. He's the one that scored. He's a substitute, by the way. Not even a starter. How do you like that?
Wow. So does that mean he gets a big salary now? How does soccer work?
I don't know. He better get something.
Does he get a new contract?
I don't know. He better get something. He won the World Cup for Germany.
Well, at the very least, he will be a national hero for at least the next year or two.
Yeah. But there you go. And I think that will be it. That's enough soccer for me.
Goodbye to El Football. And congrats to Germany.
Yep. Once again, Germany, your 2014 World Cup champions. Good to see them win. You know what? During that like playoff run in the knockout rounds,
yeah,
they were dominant throughout all of it. They deserve
were.
It.
Well, weren't they the ones that posted that 7-1 score?
Yeah. They were the ones that had, yeah.
Almost sounds like a real football score.
Yeah.
7 points. They got a touchdown.
Yeah. For those that don't know soccer, 1-0 is considered an advantage. 2-0 is considered a huge advantage. 3-0 is considered a blowout. So if you win,
what's 7-1 then?
So if
Rich?
You win by a score of 7-1, that's practically murder. Okay,
essentially, yeah.
7-1 is just that was unheard of when that happened.
That'd be like
Germany did that.
That'd be like an NFL team scoring 100 points in a game.
Yeah,
just about.
Or what was it when the Patriots
the
ran
Patriots
up the
had
score
that year?
And they were
yeah.
like 63-0 or whatever.
Yeah, it's like that.
Yeah, something like that. Well, anyway, the point is Germany deserves it. They were just dominant. They were in our group.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't we lose to?
Or
did we tie to them or lose to them?
Well, we got knocked out by Belgium.
I know, but earlier the first round robin,
we lost to Germany.
We lost to Germany. Yeah. Okay,
but the point is, we had to contend with them in our division.
That's right, we did.
So
we're
like
sort of semi.
We're
kind of.
We're
not
riding the coattails.
Right. Yeah, ride those coattails.
Yeah, we're like second place of the champions.
Coattail riders.
There you go. Ha, ha, ha.
That was so...
That's what I'm saying.
That was so dead, that laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Okay.
In your face. Ha, ha.
Yeah, you're the king of the laugh, apparently.
In your face. Ha, ha.
So there you-
that just shows how worn out with soccer you are.
Yeah, I am. I'm done. Thank you. I'm soccered out for 4 years. Don't come back. All right, let's get to our next story.
All right.
And you know what? This is the story that knocked soccer right on its ass. It is the coverage of LeBron Watch.
That's right. King James, he made his decision. Decision 2.0, right?
Decision harder.
Decision harder, yes.
That's what I was calling it. And the decision, a little bit shocking.
Although, I don't know, we kind of were heading in the right direction a couple weeks ago, weren't we?
Yeah,
when we were
inadvertently.
We were just joking, of course. We had no idea that LeBron would actually re-sign with his first team, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah.
I know, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that was a little shocking.
So here's the details. LeBron James signs with the Cleveland Cavaliers. He signs a 2-year, $42.2 million contract.
Oh, yeah. Look who's rolling the money.
Yeah. He's pulling down $21 million a year.
Yep.
That's
and
an enormous contract.
And
there's more?
The second year is optional.
So he can opt out like he did this year and try and get even more.
After next year. Yeah, this time next year, if he wants to, he could be a free agent again.
Oh, boy.
Which I'm suspecting might happen.
Really? You think that could happen?
Yeah, because, you know.
Last week we were talking about how there's a maximum salary, right?
Yeah, and he's getting it.
So if they raise that maximum, you're thinking he might opt out?
No.
To re-sign for that maximum, or
that's an option. But I'm thinking more of the fact that he's going to realize that Cleveland is a toilet.
Wow,
I'm still going to say it.
Wow,
I am still going to say it until Cleveland.
I hope we don't have any fans in Cleveland, Rich.
I'm sorry, it's the fact.
You got a point.
Cleveland actually wins a championship.
When you have the Cavs and the Browns, your city is, you know.
Now, don't get me wrong. They're looking pretty good now that the Cavs have LeBron back and the Browns have Johnny Football. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's looking more promising.
We'll have to wait in both cases because yes. LeBron does not an
but
entire
it's,
team make.
Right. But it's, yeah, of course. It's not the end-all be-all.
Right.
So that's why I'm still confident in saying Cleveland is a toilet.
Okay. So Cleveland is still a toilet for now.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, and you have the Indians, too. Sorry.
Right. Yeah. We just plumb forgot about them.
Yeah.
So, you know, speaking of LeBron going there and trying to bring them out of that toilet status, how big of a...
God, nobody wants to play with me.
What was that?
That's what Cleveland fans are saying until LeBron came back.
Straight in the...
God, nobody wants to play with me.
Every time I go to make a point, you play this weird clip I've never heard before.
Do you know where that's from?
I have no idea.
That's Ace Ventura, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Nobody
I've never heard that one. That was completely new to me today.
God, nobody wants to play with me.
Yep, that's what Cleveland feels.
That is true. All the players on Cleveland sports teams must feel that way.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, well, LeBron is heading back.
Right.
Heading back to his hometown.
And, you know, talking about them being pulled out of toilet status, how big of an impact do you think LeBron signing with Cleveland is?
Oh, well, you know what? I've got Vegas odds for you.
Oh, really?
If you want to go that route, all right? Before LeBron was even rumored to be coming back to the Cavaliers, the Cavaliers were 60-1 long shots to win the NBA championship in 2015.
Okay. So
60-1.
That's a lot.
Right. Then when rumors were hitting that LeBron was very interested in returning to Cleveland, they climbed up to 10-1.
No way.
Just on rumors.
You're telling me just rumors?
Yes.
Was a change of 50?
Yep.
Okay, so what is it after he signed?
And now that LeBron has officially signed the documents and is now officially a Cleveland Cavalier, the Cavs are now the overall favorite at 4-1.
What?
Yep. That's how big of a difference LeBron James makes.
Okay. Maybe I'm just crazy, but I don't think any player in any sport, in any era, could make that big of a change for a team just by themselves.
Well, according to Vegas, it's LeBron.
All right. So let me pose this question to you. Do you think that's a valid assessment? Do you think any player can make that much difference? Even LeBron? The LeBron at his best, do you think he could make, what was that, 56 points of difference?
Yeah. It went from 60-1 to 4-1 altogether.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no. But in basketball, that is where the biggest effect happens.
One player does make a big difference in basketball.
Because you only have five players on the court.
Right.
So when you get a superstar player, that's one out of five players you're improving on your team as opposed to football where there's only 11 on the field. Baseball, there's 9 on the field. But basketball, you only have 5.
Right. And usually there's that one star on every team. I mean, you know, AI basically carried the Sixers for the longest time.
Yeah. Look at the Heat. They only needed, they needed three superstars, and bam, they went to the finals 4 years straight.
Yeah. Well, they only won twice, though.
No. But they, the point is, they were just, like, granted.
Right.
Nobody in the Eastern Conference challenged them those 4 years.
That is very true.
Nobody did.
So, more than any sport, you think it's easiest to buy a championship in basketball by that standard?
Yes. I mean, okay. other than the... Well,
it's never easy to buy a championship.
It's in different ways.
Right.
Because in basketball, you only need that one-star player.
Right.
Baseball,
you have unlimited
easy.
Money to
it's
spend.
Yeah, it's easy because there's no cap limit. Right. So, I mean, it's different in easier ways.
In football, it's...
And in football, it's the hardest.
Football is the hardest. And hockey's pretty tough, too.
Yeah.
Because hockey, players seem to always be in and out of the lineup all the time.
Right. And they always get injured, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I would say the easiest is... probably basketball and baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's interesting, though. I guess I never really thought of it that way, that they bought those three players, and then it was like a...
Smooth sailing.
It was like a golden ticket to Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, you know?
Yes.
You know, it's like they wanted to go to the finals, and so they went.
Yeah. No, nobody in the Eastern Conference ever was a serious threat to them.
Also,
let's be honest.
The Eastern Conference in those years wasn't really that strong anyway.
There's nobody else.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to compete with them? The Celtics haven't been very good.
The Pacers? Ooh. Yeah. Ooh, my shorts are, you know, squeaming right now. Ooh.
What? My shorts are squeaming right... What the hell is squeaming?
I was going to say squealing, and then I realized that didn't make any sense.
Ooh. Squeaming just sounds wrong.
Yeah.
I'm squeaming.
I was also going to say another S word, and that's not appropriate either.
So you went with squeaming.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess that's better than the other S word.
Right.
Okay. Could have said I shipped. I shipped my pants.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm shipping my pants right now, you know?
I got to pull that clip up. I haven't used that one.
I just shipped my bed.
Yeah, I'm shipping my bed. Ooh.
I just shipped my bed.
Yeah, so there you go. But anyway, yep, LeBron making his decision 2.0, signing with the Cavaliers. Also, here's something that I didn't like.
Okay.
It was like everybody was dependent on his decision. Did you notice that?
Yeah, we talked about that, right? About how the entire... league was waiting to see where he went to make their other decisions.
Like, other free agents were frozen.
Right. Well, because they wanted to find out where the King was going, where King James was going.
But, like, it seemed like teams that didn't have anything to have in connection with LeBron had to, like, freeze. I don't know. There's something weird about that.
Well, you know how teams are, because every team, you know, at least tries. Every team at least probably put in a bid, right? They had to. They just...
Except the Sixers.
Yes, well. But the point is, I guess, everyone just wanted to see what would happen so they could reassess their plans. Because knowing that LeBron James is going to be up for free agency, you know all the teams adjusted their plans around that fact.
Yeah.
So they were waiting to readjust. But,
but
that is interesting that one person wields that much buying power or selling power, whatever, that the whole league froze and waited for him.
Assuming direct control.
Yeah.
So LeBron is a Reaper.
Yeah. He's the Reaper of the NBA.
I think we just discovered the plot of Mass Effect 4, Rich.
Assuming direct control.
What does this mean for the... Well, obviously it's no longer the big three in Miami. No. But will Chris Bosh go elsewhere? What does that mean for Dwayne Wade?
Chris Bosh.
Dwayne Wade opted out as well.
Yeah, but Chris Bosh has re-signed with the Heat.
Okay. So they're the big two now.
Yeah, the big two.
The big two. Dwayne Wade, of course.
That doesn't sound good. That sounds like you're going back to the toilet.
Which would be appropriate if we're talking about Cleveland, according to you.
Right. But no, we're talking Miami here.
Yeah. And Dwayne Wade, of course, will probably re-sign.
Probably.
If he hasn't already. He's been there his whole career.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, there you go. What's left of Miami? Sorry. Sorry, Heat fans.
Sorry, Heat fans. Well, they can become Cavaliers fans now.
Yeah, if you're following the LeBron bandwagon.
Yeah, and you know people are. Uh-huh. You definitely know people are jumping on that bandwagon.
Yep.
Jumping on and off and running alongside it and trying to catch up.
Yep.
Getting run over by it.
But you know what? I don't think this is going to bode well for Cleveland.
No, I mean, I don't see one player making that big of a difference, honestly.
Yeah, I still don't think Cleveland's gonna, because that's all they have. They only have LeBron.
Yeah,
and they don't really have anybody else.
Although, really, before all they had was LeBron as well.
Yeah,
but I don't know. We'll see. I guess.
Right.
It's been a while since he's played there, so we don't know how things have changed.
Yep. But apparently all is forgiven in the world of Cleveland as LeBron James heads home, signs a 2-year deal with the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll see how that turns out, though. All right, but you know what? After all of the deciding going on with LeBron and after all the boring stuff going on with soccer, let's talk about something so exciting, so crazy, I can't wait to dive into it.
And what would what would that be, Rich? So exciting. This must be like a real sport, like football, right?
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitchin' fucking football.
But well, what sport is going to save us from the boringness of basketball and soccer?
Well, yeah, July Fools.
July Fools, okay.
It's not football. We got to talk about golf. Yeah.
So, all right. So we're once again talking about golf. You know that we've hit the summer slump in terms of sports when we start covering golf a lot.
No. It's just, you know, golf is awesome.
Come on, Mike. You know you like golf.
Golf's all right. But, well, we will talk about it because I know you enjoy golf, and we always have good discussions when it comes to golf.
Yeah.
So what about golf, though? The golf world is happening.
All right.
That we have to cover.
Well, this weekend, it's the British Open.
Oh.
For golf purists, just the Open.
Ah.
Because this is the oldest major out of all four of the big majors.
So they just call it the Open?
Yeah, because it's the first one.
Well, how snobby of them.
Yeah, well, hey.
But, yeah.
But this is golf.
This is golf.
Yeah.
True.
But the British Open will be this weekend, and it's looking to be a very interesting one as Tiger Woods is back. He's going to try and see how he fares in this year's British Open.
Now, he didn't play in the last major tournament because he had an injury, right?
Oh, yeah. He's been out with that back injury for a while.
Okay. So this is his first time back this year? Or?
Well, no. He competed last weekend in a PGA tournament.
Okay. But not it wasn't one of the majors.
No. This is the first major he's back.
Okay. How many has he missed this year? Is it one or two?
Two. He missed two? Yeah, he missed the Masters and he missed the U.S. Open.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, this is going to be Tiger Woods' first foray back into a major championship in a little bit.
Yeah, so this is big news in the golf world.
So everyone will be following Tiger Woods, including ESPN3.
There's a third one now.
Yes.
Okay.
And if
we got to get up to the Ocho.
Yeah, we're just to get there at that. Come on, guys. But at this point, guess what?
What?
If you love Tiger Woods so much, tune into ESPN3 this weekend. Because ESPN3 has secured the rights to broadcast every hole Tiger Woods is on.
Okay.
Go figure.
Well, that sounds like something a network would want to have, right? Tiger Woods is a big athlete.
Yeah, but it's just weird that he gets that much. It's another LeBron James. Like, really?
Yeah, one person controlling an entire sport.
Yeah.
Well, it's all about who's most marketable.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess so.
Well, so the point is we can watch all Tiger Woods all the time on ESPN3.
This weekend, you can watch Tiger Woods' every shot he makes at the British Open on ESPN3 if you want to check that out.
Okay.
But now, what do you think Vegas says about this? You know, we hear what ESPN says. Obviously, they're loving some Tiger Woods.
They're thinking he's going to go far then.
Yeah. Boy, that would be awkward if he misses the cut. I guess we have no programming on Saturday and Sunday.
And they just cut to like the please stand by symbol for like for three straight days. Dude, they play like the technical difficulty music.
Yeah.
We're experiencing technical difficulties.
Dude, they have to play like a replay of trick shot billiards or something.
Trick shot. Hey, I like watching trick shot billiards.
I do too. I actually
it's fun.
Do.
They do really weird stuff.
Yeah, don't.
That's a sport we should cover.
Well, I don't know. So anyway, we'll look into that.
So ESPN3 is betting the bank on Tiger Woods. I mean, not really, but...
No, he just has to at least make the cut.
But speaking of betting banks, who should we be betting our banks on, according to Vegas? Should it be Tiger Woods, Rich?
Actually, no, according to Vegas.
Okay.
The favorite is the current number one ranked golfer in the world, Adam Scott. Remember, we did a little profile
on him. We did do a profile.
He crossed over to number one on the golf rankings.
Yeah, I think he's only the second or third Australian ever to have that honor.
He's the first... yeah, he's the second Australian and the first since Greg Norman in 98 to have that honor.
Okay, nice. So he's the favorite.
Yes.
What are his odds to win?
His odds are 12-1.
Okay.
Okay.
Not as good as the Cavaliers, obviously.
No.
Because he doesn't have LeBron on his team.
Right, yeah. LeBron James would have 4-1 in this.
But
apparently.
If he did, he'd be like 1-something. 1-1.
Yeah.
Betting to make even money.
Yeah.
All right. Now, after Adam Scott, then it is a tie between Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy, both at 15-1.
Okay, so Tiger Woods is still tied for second.
Yes.
Okay.
Though I think it's a little confident for Rory McIlroy. He's been having problems with his putter, and you know what? Every PGA golf instructor will tell you putting's half of your strokes.
It is.
It is.
Yeah, technically, yes, it is.
So if you're not putting well, I don't see how you're going to win a major. But...
So you're not feeling McIlroy that high?
You know what? It's because of that performance in the U.S. Open. He it's a shame. He was hitting great shots, but on the green, he was just three-putting, and you know you can't be putting up that. Let's move on. Let's do in fourth place, Henrik Stenson. He's 18-1 for odds, and he's been placing high in the last couple majors.
Okay.
Maybe it's that consistent thing, you know, that like, hey, he's been hitting top tens consistently. Maybe
right. Consistency is a big thing in golf.
Yeah, maybe
you have
just,
to be consistent.
He just needs that spark to get him going.
Okay.
We'll find out. Then it's the U.S. Open winner, Martin Keimer. He's at 20-1.
Okay. Really? That low for just winning the U.S. Open? Why is that?
It's tough to win back-to-back majors. It so really is.
Just the nature of the game, he loses a couple points because of that.
Yeah, he already, you know, it's very tough to win back-to-back majors.
Right. It's like winning back-to-back championships in anything.
Yeah, it is. It's just tough to do it again.
Right.
Then we've got Justin Rose at 22-1, another crowd favorite. Sergio Garcia at 25-1. Old lefty Phil Mickelson, 28-1. Masters winner Bubba Watson, 35-1. And then the list goes on down. A couple notables, Ricky Fowler, 50-1. Angel Cabrera, 50-1. And on and on. So there you go.
Who's the least favorite? That's something I'm always interested in. It's probably a name I've never heard of, but
well,
I'm just curious.
We can't figure that out yet because you know people can withdraw.
We
have time until they begin the first round on Thursday to withdraw.
Okay,
so
would anybody withdraw from? I mean, if they're in good health, they wouldn't withdraw from a big tournament.
You're right. You can. I mean, you know, if you're not feeling up to it, yeah.
Yeah, they're like a hipster golfer. Like, I don't need the Open.
Yeah, the Open is so 100 years ago.
So, that's something a golf hipster would say. Oh, it's so 100 years ago.
Yeah.
That's old money.
But there you go. Just to give you an idea of who the favorites are heading into this year's British Open. And you know what? All golf courses kind of seem pristine and historic.
Right.
The British Open is very historic. I mean, we're playing at one of the
so
oldest...
historic, it's just called the Open.
Right.
So
we're playing at one of the oldest courses ever in golf history, Royal Liverpool.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
All right. So this weekend, right? The British Open.
This weekend, find out who will take the Open trophy if you're golf purist. Yeah.
Is the trophy actually open?
I don't know. I don't think
wondering.
So. Like, does it have an open cup?
Yeah, an open cup.
No.
Open trophy.
No. I guess not.
Oh. It should be called the closed then.
The closed.
The closed, yes. The closed is set to open in Britain?
Yeah, see, that wouldn't make sense.
No.
Well, anyway, there you go. I'm more excited over golf than I am over this stupid World Cup thing.
I know. I know, we spent more time talking about LeBron and the British Open than we did talking about the biggest sporting event in 90% of the world.
Yeah, oh, sorry.
Yeah, I just can't get into soccer.
Yeah. But golf, I'm ready to go.
But golf, Rich can get into at least.
Yeah.
Me, I couldn't care less about any of these topics because none of them are football.
All right, Mike just laying it all out on the line.
I've just become so disinterested in all the sports other than football over the past year and a half.
Are you even going to do the next like 8 shows until football starts again?
I mean, actually, football's starting pretty soon. I'm so excited.
There you go. Look, he can't even contain himself right now.
It's almost August. The preseason is going to start, Rich.
Ooh.
Aren't you excited?
Oh, man.
To see those fourth stringers play in like boiling August heat?
Well, anyway, there you go. Mike can't wait for football. I can't wait for golf this weekend. All right. But you know what? That is a lot of sports news to cover. I think we're going to need to take a little bit of a break. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I think so. We got to rest up before the entertainment entree, Rich.
That's right, and we got a couple of fun sound clips to go over in the entertainment entree. A new song from Weird Al.
Oh,
I love Weird Al.
Gotta love Weird Al.
An old Saturday Night Live skit comes to life, and some Harry Potter news.
Ooh, we don't really talk much about Harry Potter here, but...
No, so a lot more to come. And then, of course, the odd news.
Of course.
So, yeah, a lot more shows still coming up. Don't go anywhere. More of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Don't go anywhere.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Trash City Beads, the great bead store with the weird name, selling beads and findings for over 25 years. Visit us online at trashcity.com. Like us on Facebook at Trash City Beads. Unique beads, charms, crystals, and findings from all over the world at wholesale prices. No store, no showroom, we are online only. Visit us at trashcity.com. Trash City Beads is your online source for the best beads on the planet. Remember the name, Trash City Beads.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, and this intro song actually has to do with one of our entertainment entree news stories, isn't that right?
That's right, it does. It's something that makes us quite happy, if you will.
Yep, so we'll launch into all of that in just a moment, but you know what, I'm just going to clear up the air here. Got a couple of notifications here that... there has been 0-0 ties in the NFL, but just for the record, that is in like the, you know, early days of the NFL. When I meant that there would never be a 0-0 tie in football, I meant in the modern era where, you know, you pass every down here.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking up the stats here, and the last 0-0 tie was in 1943.
Thank you. All right.
Between the New York Giants, just goes to show they sucked back then and they suck today. And the Detroit Lions, just goes to show they sucked back then and they suck today.
So there you go. All right.
So
excuse me. I meant to say in the modern era of football.
Right.
All right. So there you go. Clearing up the air there. All right. But now let's get into our loaded and fun segment here. For the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Woo! All right! For those that don't know the reference, that is Jeff Daniels in Dumb and Dumber. And I just want to bring that up because, I want to respect Jeff Daniels on this, all right?
Okay.
He goes from, you know, slapstick comedy between the Dumb and Dumber movies and then to dramas with The Newsroom and then the action movies with Speed. I mean, I think he's a great actor.
He is. He is.
And the reason I bring that up is because they had the Emmy nominations released this week. We're not going to get into all of them because there's just way too many. And we usually get into them when the actual award event actually happens.
Right. Closer to the event.
Which I think is a better way to do it instead of this like long waiting period.
Yeah. Why announce them now when we're going to have to wait? Like, how long is it? Like months?
Yeah. We got to wait a while. Well, I mean, for our coverage.
Right. For our coverage.
Yeah. So we'll get into it when, you know, it's time for the award ceremony.
Right.
But just want to give props to Jeff Daniels and the whole best actor in a drama category, all right?
Okay.
That category is...
It's loaded, isn't it?
Jeff Daniels in The Newsroom, the defending champion, by the way. He won last year.
Yeah, that's right.
John Hamm in Mad Men.
Okay.
Bryan Cranston for Breaking Bad.
Oh, man.
Kevin Spacey for House of Cards.
Oh, God.
And both Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey in True Detective.
That is a loaded category.
I don't know where you start to even, you know, who is the best in that.
Yeah. Well, oh my gosh, I know.
Right, yeah.
I have three off the top that I would love to give it to immediately. If I could have a
Can't they
a
just
tie.
All win?
Like in a perfect world. I think it's interesting that HBO and AMC just utterly dominate that.
Yeah.
They got
the best shows.
Right, but everything is HBO and AMC with the exception of House of Cards.
Which is Netflix,
yeah.
And Netflix is getting some praise with not only just House of Cards, but now Orange is the New Black.
That's right. So I guess the lesson here is HBO, AMC, and Netflix.
There you go. That's all you need.
Yeah. If you want good programming, those three destinations, you can't go wrong.
That's right. I think so, too. Well, anyway, I just wanted to give my props to Jeff Daniels and all those nominated for the best acting in a drama category, because that is stacked, and
it really is.
I have no idea where to go with that one, so we'll save that discussion for when the Emmys actually do happen.
Yeah, we'll debate that later. Yeah,
right. But you know what? Let's have some fun.
Yeah, let's have some fun.
We're gonna have some fun here because Weird Al Yankovic, one of my favorite music artists,
gotta love him. He's great.
Is coming out with a new parody song, and I love this. Because it's ripping off of Happy, which we just came back from the commercial break into.
That's right. It's such a catchy song to parody, too.
Yeah.
Right? Pharrell's Happy.
But instead, Weird Al decides to go with Tacky.
All right.
And I actually have not heard it yet. And
neither have I. So this is we're going to play the clip, and this is going to be our first reaction to it, right?
Yeah, both of us.
So this is, instead of odd news, it's, I don't know. Odd songs.
Odd songs.
That we have to react to.
All right. Well, here you go. This is Weird Al's version of Happy, which he calls Tacky.
It might seem crazy wearing stripes of pride. I Instagram every meal I've had.
All my
used liquor bottles are on display. We can go to see a show, but I'll make you pay. cheek, ask her this and that. Yeah. Like, are you pregnant, girl, or just really fat?
What?
Yeah. Well, now I'm dropping names almost constantly.
Yeah.
That's what Kanye West.
Go.
Wow.
I like it.
What'd you think? I liked it too.
And I'll tell you what, I agree with the socks and the sandals.
Yes.
And the Ed Hardy shirts.
Yes.
If you wear an Ed Hardy shirt, you're tacky.
There's a lot of lines that I agree with. I love the line he said. I pulled up the lyrics so I could follow along with this amazing music video. He goes, I wear my belt with suspenders and sandals with my socks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, the belt and the sand. Yeah, you only need one support system to hold off your hold up the
right,
pants.
Right, not two support systems.
If you need two support systems. There's something wrong with
I love that you call them support systems. I find that funny.
Well, that's what suspenders and belts do. They hold your pants up.
Oh my gosh!
You know, I think we need to combine this problem.
Okay,
all right, because we have those people on the streets that.
Don't have any support.
Yeah, they wear their pants at their ass.
Right.
So
we sound like old people now.
We need to mix. No, I'm trying to fix a problem here.
I know, but that's what like all the stereotypical old people say. They got the pants down around their ass.
Well, they do.
It's true, they do, and it bugs me too. You're absolutely right.
We need to mix those people with
the double support system people.
Yeah, with these double support people, and the averages should like. Cancel each other out, and then we'll have everyone.
So you're saying if you mix the two groups together, one group will, out of pity, give them one of their support systems? Okay.
And then everyone will have one support system.
I think it's just hilarious. We keep calling them support systems. I don't know what else to call them, though.
That's what they are. They support hold your pants up. They are pants support systems. PSS.
PSS.
Yes.
All right.
And we need to get the ones with two PSSs, with the ones with zero no PSSs, and... There we go.
We should have a PSA about PSSs.
Yes. I'm Rich Liebig. Do you have two or more PSSs on you that are needed to hold up your pants? Consider donating one of them to somebody that doesn't have it and has their pants around their ass. Thank you. Rich Liebig, 2014. Thank you.
Beautiful, thank beautiful. You. It's going to be a million. It's going to have a million hits on YouTube, that PSA.
Thank you. Well, anyway, there you go. The new single from Weird Al Yankovic, Tacky.
And I just got to say, you guys have to check out the video of this because it is jam-packed with guest stars. It's got Aisha Tyler. You got Jack Black and a whole bunch of others, too many to name. And it's a funny, funny video. And, of course, very tacky.
Well, of course, that's the name of the song, has to be Tacky. But there you go. And you know what? He's also releasing more music videos.
He is, yes.
As part of a little music video binge spree that he's doing. So I can't wait to see the whole finish when it's all done, the music
it's
videos.
It's all in support of a new album that's supposed to come out later this year, too. So all those Weird Al fans, make sure to keep an eye out for that.
Yep. Should be pretty good. All right. Now, from one musical clip to the next.
We're music heavy, this Entertainment Entree, aren't we?
Yep. And again, another comedy one, which I'm excited about on this one. One of my favorite Saturday Night Live cast members, Dana Carvey. You gotta love his skits.
I personally love his George Bush impression.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my favorite. But
he was on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
Another one of my favorites.
Yep. And I think this was kind of a cue for Jimmy Fallon to respect the Saturday Night Live cast members that came before him. because after his interview with Dana Carvey on The Tonight Show, Jimmy Fallon asked Dana Carvey to perform his classic song, Choppin' Broccoli, not just alone on a piano, which he can do.
Okay.
Which is awesome, by the way, that he can, you know, still blast out a tune on the piano, but also with a full orchestra.
Wow.
This such classic, emotionally touching song called Choppin' Broccoli. So, do you want to hear what it sounds like with a full orchestra?
Yes, I would love to hear this.
All right, so here it is, the classic song that was in the Saturday Night Live skit, Choppin' Broccoli, but now the 2014 version with a full orchestra. Let's play it.
Dana Carvey.
She's cold as ice. Paradise. I'm a feeling. All that feeling was nice. And there's a lady I know. If I didn't know her, she'd be the lady I didn't know. And my lady, she went downtown. She bought some broccoli. She brought it home. She chopping broccoli. Chopping broccoli. Chopping broccoli. She chopping broccoli. She chopping broccoli. Chopping broccoli. Chopping broccoli. Chopping broccoli. Chopping broccoli. Chopping broccoli. She chopping broccoli.
Wow.
That was probably the most dramatic song I've ever heard in my entire life. Right up there with, like, Beethoven and Mozart.
Yep.
That was just beautiful. Just absolutely beautiful. I love it.
I can't believe they got a full-out orchestra.
Oh, and it sounded great, too.
Yeah.
It sounded great. It really did. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Oh, my gosh. I just love when, like, it started, like, crashing in with, like, you know, she'd be the lady I didn't know. Boom! Yeah. Oh, I gotta admit, Jimmy Fallon's starting to grow on me. I'm starting to like him.
Yeah, I've been a fan of him back when he was doing the late night show at the 12:30 slot. But I think he's excellent at the Tonight Show.
Yeah, and I think that's also major brownie points that, you know, he's seeking, you know, talent from previous Saturday Night Live generations to come back on.
Right.
And, you know, hear what they've been up to and reignite some old sketches. I love it.
It's good fun is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a mixture of nostalgia and, you know, just having fun. You know, it doesn't take it too seriously. Just it's all about having a good time.
Yeah. So there you go. Dana Carvey performs the Saturday Night Live smash hit Choppin' Broccoli with a full out orchestra. Thank you, Jimmy Fallon, for putting that together. And for those that have never seen the Choppin' Broccoli skit, you need to do that as soon as this podcast is over.
And yeah, now you can see the updated version too.
Yeah, the 2014 version.
Yeah. Choppin' Broccoli 2014.
Yep. So there you go. I had to bring that up. I love that skit.
Wow. So two great musical clips back to back, Weird Al and Dana Carvey.
Yep. Perfect way to make this entertainment entree exciting.
Yeah. I mean, we don't talk enough about music on this podcast, I think.
Yeah.
Occasionally we do, but it's always nice. And two comedy songs, too, back to back, which is always fun.
Right. But, all right, but, you know, we're going to leave the world of music and comedy and instead go to one of our favorite book series.
Yeah, speaking about subjects we don't talk about a lot, I don't think we've ever had a discussion about books.
Not really.
No, but you know what? This would be the one series to break that streak.
Yeah.
We're talking, of course, about our favorite series, Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, we grew up on these books.
Yeah, we were the perfect age for them, really, because we grew up alongside the characters.
Yeah, we were. I think we were the perfect ages.
I think I was 11 when the first book came out.
Right.
The first book came out, like, what, 99-ish? Something like that?
Yeah, around there. Yeah,
yeah, so 10, 11 years old.
I think I was in fifth grade, six?
Yeah, that would have been 10, 11 years old, yeah. Something like that. So a series that's near and dear to our hearts, and it's just a great story, great characters. But the reason we're talking about it now is because the author, J.K. Rowling, actually released a new short story in the series about an older Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And this came as kind of a surprise to everyone. Nobody really was expecting this, that she would release a short story on her website, Pottermore.com. The article is written in the premise of the short story is it's an article written by the tabloid journalist Rita Skeeter. You remember?
Oh, yeah.
Skeeter.
Right.
Always trying to twist people's words and everything.
Mm.
And she's covering the Quidditch World Cup where she reconnects with Harry Potter and the rest of the Dumbledore's army gang who's attending the Quidditch World Cup. And they just talk about what they've been up to since the end of the seventh book. So that's the short story, is catching up on all the characters we have grown to love so much in the series.
Hmm. So, well, that sounds interesting.
It's interesting, yeah. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but you can read the whole story on Pottermore.com.
So is it free?
It is free. It requires you to sign up for the website, but that's free as well. But
oh.
Yeah, the whole story is free online. Are you thinking about checking this one out?
I think curiosity will get the better of me. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on. We've read seven books.
Yeah. What's you one know? More short story at this point?
Yeah. Thousands and thousands of pages. I think we can manage another 1,500 words.
Yeah.
And also, it'll be fun to see all the characters and where they are now. Because it talks about, you know, Harry is 34 years old at this point. You know, and he's an Aurora. Is that how you pronounce it? The magic police, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, whatever the magic police are. It's got a lot of other returning characters like Victor Krum and Hermione and Ron and Harry's kids. It talks about Neville and Luna and all the great characters. So I'm really looking forward to checking this one out.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you believe the spokesperson that says that she doesn't have any more plans to write another Harry Potter book?
I don't know.
This kind of seems...
It always seems like that's what they say right before an announcement is made.
Yeah. And also the fact that she went out of her way to write a new short story.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. The fan in me says that I really want a new story. But also part of me is thinking, you know, she hasn't written anything in so long. But then the other part of me says, well, why would she write this now then?
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting conflicting emotions from both sides. And also you have to keep in mind that a new movie is coming out, the Fantastical Beasts and Where to Find Them spinoff movie.
Right, the spinoff.
So I don't know, is this some way to build up hype for that movie? Could we expect maybe some spinoff books in the series? It really does have me wondering what more this could become, right?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think the Harry Potter series has to end with, you know, the seventh book and this, you know, and whatever the short story is. I think Harry's story is done.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, if she wants to write a book about, like, another character in the wizarding world, no. I could see where that could be, like, the next series that she tries to tackle.
That would be a lot of fun. I think that would be a lot of fun. Do you think that's something that she would want to do?
Well, I mean,
because the spokesperson said she's not going to write any more about adult Harry's adult life, Harry Potter.
Right, exactly. They're being very specific.
Right.
Harry is done.
Right. But not just Harry, but adult Harry Potter.
Right. So
that
just
that
so
wording
instead,
is very specific. You're right.
Right. So instead, just create a new bunch of characters. And it could be the same realm. They go to Hogwarts, right. Blah, 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 blah.
They can't have Voldemort come back, of course. But.
No, but it could be a new bad guy.
Right,
it
of course.
Could, you know, the universe is still intact. The universe is still fair play as far as I'm concerned.
And it's a great universe. Because, yeah. I mean, she really did a great amount of world building with all the different spells and the Quidditch World Cup and all the different creatures and customs. When you think back to those books, it's a pretty fleshed out world that she created.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Right.
So
I mean, there's a lot of story that she can tell.
There is a lot more that she could tell, because we only saw one wizarding school in one country.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they actually had a Harry Potter marathon on this past weekend.
Yeah, how appropriate.
And one of them was the Goblet of Fire, and it makes me think that, you know, there are other wizarding schools out there. You know, I wonder if there's even more in Britain. I don't know. You know, I don't know what else this world has in store for us.
It's a good thing there's not any in America, because that would...
They'd probably be stoned.
Yeah.
We don't take kindly to your type around these parts.
Yeah.
Why do I always make myself Southern? I don't know.
Well, yeah. Anyway, there you go. A new short story about Harry Potter in his adult life, if you want to go check it out. I think I'll check it out just to see what it is.
I think so, yeah.
But
me too.
As for a continuation on Harry Potter himself, nah, I think that story's done.
I think so. And I hope so, too. You don't want it to be run into the ground, like so many series seem to get these days.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, if you want to go check out the new short story, go over to Pottermore.com, sign up for a free account, and you can read the whole article in the Daily Prophet by Rita Skeeter.
Of course.
I love that she writes in that world too.
Yeah.
Make it like, you know, an article for the Daily Prophet. I think that's great.
Yes.
So I'll definitely be checking that out.
All right. And there you go. That is a lot of entertainment entree news to throw at you with our audio clips and comedy and then a book report from Harry Potter.
We don't talk about books, but we did today.
Yeah. So that was a lot to throw at you. So we're going to take a little bit of a break, but coming up, we will have your week's dose of odd news and the non-fortune cookie odd news. So don't go anywhere. More fun times ahead here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We'll be right back.
Attention sports fans, collectors, hobbyists, and autograph seekers. Are you looking for the best in sports cards and collectibles? The only name you need to know is Carl's. That's right, Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA not only has the best collection of sports memorabilia, cards, game, used merchandise, and autograph signings for top professional athletes, he also does custom framing too. Go to carlscards.com or like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Carl's Cards. That's Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. Remember, Carl's, the only and best name in sports cards and collectibles.
Are you in the market for a quality used car? Have problems trusting fly-by-night used car dealerships? Check out Ken Nolan's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales. Ken has been in business for almost 30 years, selling cars not only to people all over the Philadelphia area, but now worldwide thanks to our website at www.plymouthmeetingautosales.com. At Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, we have cars for all size wallets, inexpensive cars under $3,000, to classic cars and even dump trucks. Stop on in. That's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, 1215 Ridge Pike, Conshohocken, PA, or call 610-828-4427.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. And this next segment is one of our most famous ones. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. It is the wild, the wacky, the always fun and crazy non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, Get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Yeah! I'm a DJ! There you go. This segment provides a lot of sound clips.
Yes, it does. I'm pretty sure like 80% of our sound clips have come from the Odd News.
There's a common enemy! Kill him!
As everyone on that follows this podcast knows, Rich always gets several over on me with the Odd News. For those that don't know, he researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. I have no idea what he's got in store for me. It's always a surprise.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
I'm ready to go. I'm packing heat. All you can do is try and brace yourselves for the craziness that is the Odd News.
Yep.
Because I have no idea what's about to happen.
That's right. Well, you know what? You want to just dive right into this week's?
Let's do it. Let's dive in.
All right. You know what? Let's start this one off right.
Okay.
We're going back to a Chuck E. Cheese restaurant.
No. 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 I refuse to believe. I refuse.
Radical.
I refuse to believe that there's a third Chuck E. Cheese story.
This is officially a trilogy. The Chuck E. Cheese trilogy.
Please. Oh, jeez. Is it a brawl?
Not exactly.
Oh, damn, so
but
close.
But it is pretty crazy.
Should we just say, I don't know how many people have been following us since the beginning. One of our first stories, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was a brawl at a Chuck E. Cheese birthday party. And then we had a second one.
That was even bigger.
That was even bigger. And now we have a third story about a Chuck E. Cheese.
Yep.
Okay, so what happened this time?
Two men apparently chose a Chuck E. Cheese restaurant was an appropriate place to smoke heroin.
All right, then. Maybe that's what led to the brawls.
Two men faced drug possession charges after they smoked heroin in the bathroom of a Chuck E. Cheese restaurant in California. Colin Zaborski and Daniel Lubach were arrested after police saw them together inside a stall in the men's bathroom at the Chuck E. Cheese restaurant. A customer reported to the police that the suspects were getting high in the Family Friendly's pizzeria's restroom. Both males were observed in the process of smoking heroin, the lieutenant said. The men went to Chuck E. Cheese to meet with a drug supplier.
Wow.
So apparently this is also a drug dealing location.
So Chuck E. is dealing on the side.
Yeah.
I guess pizza doesn't offer him a good salary. Huh?
No, not as much as you think.
He's instead of just slinging pizza, he's got to sling drugs as well.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Both Zaborski and Lubach were under the influence, according to the arresting officers, who confiscated drug paraphernalia and a small amount of heroin that was on them. Zaborski was then transported to the Orange County Jail and booked for felony possession of a controlled substance, misdemeanor under influence of controlled substance, and misdemeanor possession of drug paraphernalia. He was released after posting $20,000 bail. The other guy, Lubach, was booked for a misdemeanor charge of being under the influence of a controlled substance, but he was released on a written promise to appear in court.
What?
Yeah, apparently they...
Can you do that?
Apparently they take things easy in California here.
I owe you one court appearance. It's like scrawled in Crown on the back of one of Chuck E. Cheese's placemats. Yeah. Like...
Hey, kids, we're going to learn what an IOU means today.
Can murderers do that? I owe you one death penalty.
Be right back.
Be right back. Yeah, BRB. Lol.
All right, so there you go. Great.
Yeah. That's just the most ridiculous thing. I mean, the whole story, but that last part about a written promise.
Yeah.
Like... Is that, like, an actual official thing? Like, does your lawyer have to write up a letter, or do you just write, like, on a sheet of loose leaf?
They took the menu from Chuck E. Cheese and just wrote, I will be back.
I'll be back. Don't worry.
I promise.
I swear.
I pinky promise, swear to die on my mother's grave.
And also, I think it's weird. I'm just thinking about this. I think it's weird that they chose Chuck E. Cheese to smoke heroin.
Yeah.
Isn't there like a shady back alley they can go to? What is up with criminals? Like, I guess they think because it's a kid's place that no one would think to look for drugs in there.
I guess so.
But still, it's a public place in a public restroom.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And they were smoking it too.
Yeah, really.
Like, isn't that going to set off a smoke alarm or something?
Wouldn't that be a little obvious? Yeah. Well, that's why these criminals are dumb, right?
Little Billy walks into the boys' bathroom. What's that smell, mister?
Mommy, mommy, there's heroin in the bathroom.
Someone said a hero is in there.
A hero. A hero is a hero in the bathroom. Yeah.
No. No, Billy.
No,
this
Billy.
This is drugs.
Chuck E. Cheese is shooting up.
Chuck E. Cheese is dealing.
Yeah. Yeah, Chuck E. Cheese doesn't get high on his supply. He deals it out.
All right, so there you go. That was the third part of the
Chuck
E. Cheese trilogy.
So the trilogy is complete, or will it become a saga?
We'll find out.
Yeah. It's been a while since we had a Chuck E. Cheese story. Yeah. So, I don't know. Hopefully we'll get another one in the future.
Yeah.
But as for now, what do we got next coming up?
All right, here's our next story here. And this one is just crazy.
Okay.
A Massachusetts man is facing assault charges after he got hot under the collar and decided in his anger to toss cayenne pepper at random customers outside of a Whole Foods.
What is that going to accomplish?
I don't know, but
this
is awesome.
Was it ground up cayenne pepper?
Yep.
Or was it? Okay. Because I just imagine him throwing fistfuls of actual peppers at people.
No.
Okay.
Police were called to the store after Eric Bertrand was allegedly spraying a white substance over customers at the store.
Okay.
The substance turned out to be crushed cayenne pepper.
It's white?
Apparently it is.
That's weird. I wouldn't think so, but
guess that's the one at Whole Foods. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't shop at Whole Foods. I'm sorry.
No, neither do I. Too expensive.
Yep.
But anyway.
And apparently you get wackos.
Yeah. You shop at Whole Foods, you get cayenne pepper thrown in your face.
Yeah.
Or did they say squirted?
No, spraying.
Oh, spraying. Okay.
The 59-year-old man apparently started going through the store and then grabbing the cayenne pepper containers and randomly throwing large quantities of powdered cayenne pepper at random customers in front of the store. Before police arrived, a customer did confront the suspect, and the two began a fist fight. Bertrand punched and kicked the other customer until another Whole Foods employee stepped in. Numerous customers were affected by the pepper spraying, but no one luckily needed medical attention from then.
So what was it that set him off? Did I miss that, or does it not say?
No, he just went ballistic.
He just went completely insane.
Yep.
And his solution was to throw pepper at people.
He needed to throw pepper at people.
That's so strange. What does throwing pepper accomplish, really? Like, you're mad at something. Oh, I'm so mad. I could just get a bunch of ground up cayenne pepper and throw it in random strangers' faces. That'll fix everything.
You know what he got mad at? He got mad at all the prices at Whole Foods.
He got mad at the price of the cayenne pepper.
Yeah.
So he said, I'll show you. I'll show Whole Foods by assaulting the customers.
Who have nothing to do with the prices.
Yeah. How dare you charge me this much? I'm just shopping here.
Damn you, Mark Wahlberg!
That's what he says. He goes into Whole Foods, he sees the prices, and he shouts, "Damn you, Mark Wahlberg."
Yeah, exactly. Just damn.
So obviously Mark Wahlberg sets the prices for Whole Foods.
Yeah.
It's a conspiracy. Now we know. Mark Wahlberg.
Another person that doesn't have anything to do with the pricing, but you know, if he was there, I'm sure he would have got some cayenne pepper thrown at him.
Yeah.
According to the Hadley Police Department, Bertrand was arrested for 7 counts of assault and battery with a dangerous weapon.
Wow, so cayenne peppers can be considered a dangerous weapon.
Well, I guess because, you know, if it gets in your eye, it can be a pretty bad infection.
That is true, yeah.
And he was also charged with a disorderly conduct charge as well. He is being forced to undergo a psychological evaluation as well. Yeah.
I always love when the stories add that in, like, just in case you couldn't
tell. Just in case.
He's completely crazy.
Yeah. Yeah!
I see that you agree with yourself.
Maybe I'm crazy.
Maybe.
Yeah! All right, ready for our next story here?
Of course.
A train that hauls cargo on the Providence and Worcester Railroad ended up carrying some extra weight.
Okay, what type of extra weight?
Apparently, some Massachusetts residents decide to go to a bridge where the train goes underneath and decide to pull down their pants and poop all over it.
Why?
Yep, that's what they decided to do.
Who started this? Who was the first one to say, you know, it's a good idea if we take a dump on that train?
Employees from PNW Railroad have alerted police that they saw four individuals dropping their load off of a bridge on Route 122. As a result, the Uxbridge Police Department is asking all residents to, quote, stop pooping on trains.
No!
Where is this that people are pooping on trains?
This is in Massachusetts.
I thought they were a little more civilized up there.
You'd think so.
But it just goes to show they're as bad as the rest of us just pooping on trains. Not that we poop on trains, but you know.
Police Chief Jeffrey Lurie. Is that...
Wait, what?
Yeah, wait, what's the Eagles owner?
Jeffrey Lurie.
Yeah, Jeffrey Lurie. Oh, hey, apparently...
Wow.
Apparently our own Eagles owner is taking this very seriously.
Okay.
He does what he does in his spare time.
He runs the Eagles, and then he stops train poopers.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, Police Chief Jeff...
Now we know why the Eagles haven't won a Super Bowl. He's too busy stopping the train poopers.
Yeah.
God damn you, train poopers.
You're causing the Eagles to miss out on the Super Bowl. Police Chief Jeffrey Lurie said that, quote, I don't have any words for this. This is very disgusting. It's a violation of the law. These actions pose no lawful purpose. Excellent. And guess what? This isn't the first time that someone has gone number two on top of this train.
Of course it would be an epidemic there.
Yep.
Why wouldn't it be?
PNW Railroad General Counsel Charles Rennick says that it's disgusting. It creates a health and safety issue for our employees. I can't believe people would do this. According to police, if the pooping suspects are caught, they would be charged with disorderly conduct, disturbing the peace, open and gross lewdness charges as well.
The one thing I've learned in all the odd news is that people will go to the bathroom on anything.
Yeah.
Literally, I'm in India, they're just going in the streets. In Rhode Island, they're going on top of trains.
Massachusetts,
not Rhode Island. I think you said it was Providence.
Yeah, I thought it was, because Providence, Rhode Island, but apparently it's another town in Massachusetts.
Okay, so Massachusetts, not Rhode Island.
Yep.
Sorry, Rhode Island. I'm sure they have their fair share of poopers, too.
No!
So, there you go. Pooping on a train.
Pooping on a train.
Gonna make it rain. Pooping on a train.
You know what they should put? They should put up like a giant sneeze guard. And instead of catching sneezes, it catches poop. You know what I mean? Like under the bridge. I feel bad for the people.
By the way, you gotta have some like pretty like time constraint. Pooping.
Yeah, I gotta save my poop for the 2:15 train.
Yeah, right. You gotta know like when the train is coming through.
God forbid it's late, you know, you're gonna be hold. You have to hold it.
Then you've gotta like you know, angle it. Like how exactly you're gonna situate yourself.
We're really gonna go over the logistics of crapping on a train.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then you gotta, you know, poop it at just the right time so that when it falls, it hits the train.
So what you're saying is you need to know physics to poop.
Yeah. Like, gee, these guys, like, you know...
The physics of poop.
They're smart, but they're using their talents in the worst way possible.
What velocity does poop fall at? What's the terminal velocity of a turd? Why are we talking about these things?
That's the TTV, the terminal...
TVT. TVT. So,
terminal velocity of a turd.
So you take the TVT, you divide it by the speed of the train, which we will... Which we will mark PT for poop train. You multiply it by the number of pushes required. This is awful.
Let's go, poo-choo train. Poo-choo trains land down its tracks with poo-choo all the way and back. Poo-poo train is my favorite.
Park for providing the most perfect soundtrack to this story.
They would, wouldn't they?
The Poo-Choo Train. I forgot about that song.
Poo-Choo Train.
Mr. Hanky's Poo-Choo Train from South Park. Very appropriate.
You know, this story is a publicity stunt for South Park.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It's four guys.
Oh.
There you go. It's Cartman, Stan, Kyle, and Kenny. They're pooping on the bridge.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's go, Poo-Choo Train. Poo-Choo. Poo-choo trains land down its tracks with poo-choo all the way and back. Poo-poo train is my favorite thing, spreading Christmas joy as we ride and sing.
So there you
poo-choo
go.
Poo-choo train.
The poo-choo train.
Wow.
I never thought that would be appropriate to play on a show.
But God, why is it appropriate to play on a show?
Because we got a real story of people pooping on a train!
What has society come to, though? That this connection has been made. Right?
This is the non-fortune cookie odd news.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. So people pooping on a train and there happens to be a South Park clip about it.
Yep.
You can't script this stuff.
Nope.
You really can't. Oh, all right. So we're moving right along down the tracks away from the Poo-Choo train. What's the next odd news story?
Wow. Apparently another Massachusetts story. Wow.
What is this? Is Massachusetts all of a sudden making a run for number one odd news state?
Yeah. I, you know what? I think other states were jealous of Florida.
Well, last week we didn't have any, did we?
Yeah. So
no, I don't want to spoil it if there's any for this week. Is there?
We'll have to find out.
Okay. All right.
Keep listening.
All right. So for right now, Massachusetts is in the lead with two odd news stories.
Right.
And Florida hasn't had any since 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
This is very disheartening, Rich. But what is Massachusetts up to other than pooping on trains?
Well, apparently we also have this story here. A Massachusetts man was arrested after he gummed up the works at a pizzeria in Northampton. According to police, Patrick Hogan ordered a pizza pie from Memo's Pizza and got upset after the pizza took 30 minutes to get done. Hogan said that, quote, he felt that it took too long. When he did that, he said that he wanted his money back.
First off, 30 minutes for pizza is not long. When I was in college, one time we waited an hour and 15 minutes for a cheesesteak. Okay? So half an hour for pizza is not out of the question.
Well, when Hogan complained, he said that he wanted his money back. A Mimo's employee did decide to give Hogan his money back, but Hogan felt that the worker threw the money back at him. When that happened, he got very angry. Angered by the slight, Hogan tossed a full gumball machine at the worker.
Oh my God.
Hitting him square in the leg. Hogan then decided to knock over the cash register.
Was this Hulk Hogan? Throwing full gumball machines?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Might be Hulk Hogan here.
Cash registers? Jeez, this guy goes straight for the jugular.
Yep. And then threw a clock at employees.
Where the hell did he get a clock from? Did he just carry one with him? A clock radio?
No, a clock.
Full. A wall clock?
Yeah, a wall clock.
He just ripped it off the wall and hurled it at him like a frisbee?
Yep.
Okay.
And then he tried to make his way around the other side of the counter.
Oh my God, it wasn't enough?
Nope.
Throwing three things at the guy?
Nope. Because then the 24-year-old Hogan allegedly got upset that he saw another patron who was recording the whole incident on his cell phone.
Oh, that guy better run.
He then went over to him and punched him several times.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
And
that's
smashed
so
his cell phone into pieces.
What is wrong with this dude?
Yeah, this guy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, this guy went on a rampage here.
Yeah, really?
When police finally arrived, he was arrested for assault and battery with a dangerous weapon, 2 counts of assault and battery, malicious destruction of property, larceny over $250, and vandalizing property. And he did that all over pizza.
Wow.
Pizza rampage.
Really? And all he had to do was wait 30 minutes, and he got that upset over it.
Give me pizza! P-I-C-C-A. I want pizza!
Hey, are you ready to play?
pasta to make it hot. And here's some Coumadin to prevent the blood clot. Toss the fish, then philosophize. Why do we exist? Why, oh why? Pizza! P-I-C-Z-A. Give me pizza! I just found out that my dad is gay. Get your motor running, cause here we go. Chocolate sauce for a minstrel show. Bacon strips. Clamps for nips. Porcelain figurine.
So there you go.
All right, then.
Could have been worse.
Pizza.
That's what happens if you don't give pizza immediately. Or pizza rampage. Either one of those two will happen.
I don't know which is worse, honestly.
All right. Well, guess what?
Okay. What?
We're actually going to get local now.
Local?
Yep.
How local?
This next story is Delaware, Newcastle, Delaware. Not that far.
Wow, no, not that far. Yeah.
Let's do this story here. 25-year-old Michael Penn is accused of trying to hide his heroin in his baby's diaper.
Oh, that's not good. You can't hide drugs in a baby's diaper. Come on.
The Delaware man was confronted by police, over an incident, when he, was accused of stealing items from a Verizon store. Penn was carrying his 8-month-old son and 5-year-old daughter at the time. After officers asked Penn to put the kids down, they say that they spotted him sliding something into the boy's diaper. Cops searched the diaper and they found 16 bags of heroin.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. They were also marked with random names such as Death and Bioshock.
Bioshock?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't know. Do you remember Bioshock having any sort of heroin drug to take or something?
Well, I know the first thing you do upon finding a strange needle is your character stabs himself with it.
Oh, so yeah, maybe that's where...
Maybe. Did you ever find that odd? You're like, oh, I'm in a city under the sea, and it's all deserted, and there's crazy people. Oh, here's a needle filled with blue liquid. I think I'll stab myself with it.
Oh, that sounds like a good idea.
Is a man not entitled to the heroin in his baby's diaper? No, says the man in Washington, because that's just weird.
No, says the man in Moscow. It
belongs to the state.
The state? The KGB? I don't know.
No, says the man in the Vatican.
It belongs to the priests.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't say it.
Yeah, well, that's just weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
Does that mean that there's like a type of heroin drug around called Bioshock?
Maybe.
Is it like split up into like Adam and Eve? And
oh, that'd be cool. I mean, that would be awful. Why would people do that? No, I mean, I love Bioshock.
Yep.
Not the drug, the video game.
But yeah, it's a little weird that there's apparently a drug of a version of heroin that is called Bioshock.
That's called Bioshock, yeah.
Wow. Anyway, Penn faces a slew of charges, including endangering the welfare of a child and heroin possession. So he's going to be in jail for a period of time.
Yeah, and he won't be able to sell Bioshock anymore.
No.
See that? If he was playing with the other type of Bioshock, he'd be fine.
Yeah.
See that? So video games save you from drugs, kids.
Thank you. Michael Costanza, 2014.
Yes. PSA from the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
All right. Ready for our next story?
Of course.
It's another Pennsylvania story.
What?
Or local.
Local story. But this time in Pennsylvania.
This one is Pennsylvania. Yeah, that's what I meant. It's another local story.
So two Massachusetts stories, two local stories. Oh, my gosh. All right. So how local is this one now?
This is Bucks County, Feasterville.
Wow, Bucks County. So it's not too far.
Yeah, no, not too far.
It's right around the corner.
Yep. A dead body on a gurney fell out of a coroner's van when the door malfunction, sending the corpse rolling right into the middle of a busy roadway in Bucks County.
That's amazing. I feel bad for the departed and their family, but that's hilarious. That's like straight out of a comedy movie.
Yep.
Come on.
The Bucks County Courier Times reports that the accident happened around noon last Friday near a shopping center. So, yeah, you got moms with their kids, and all of a sudden,
and there goes a body.
There goes a body.
Oh, my gosh.
According to the eyewitnesses at the scene, the corpse was wrapped in what appears to be a plain white sheet, and the corpse was just lying in the street as cars buzzed by it.
Oh, my gosh. Nobody stopped and like, hey, there's a body in the middle of the road?
Nope.
You know what I don't get is why it was able to roll in the first place. Don't they, like, secure it inside the van?
I guess it was on wheels.
Yeah, but don't they have, like, they must have, like, a latch or something, right?
I don't know. It wasn't locked into place.
Wow, that just seems like incompetence.
The Bucks County Coroner's Office says that the driver realized immediately that the door had been open, and he tried to retrieve the body, but it took him a couple minutes because the cars whizzed by the intersection.
Well, at least he recognized his mistake.
Yep.
Hey, I think there's supposed to be a body in the back, Bob. Oh, gee, you're right. I better pull over.
A passerby who helped get the body back into the van says that he thought it was a copy of a famous Jackass prank, which is true. Jackass did a stunt like this.
Okay.
So maybe that's a reason why people went around it. Maybe they thought it was a copy of, you know, somebody was doing a copycat imitation.
I don't know. If you saw a body in the middle of the street, is that the first thing that pops into your mind?
Well, I mean, what Jackass did do this.
Right. I know. But if I'm driving, I see a body. Like, I see, like, feet sticking out of a cloth, you know, like, well, actually, I probably wouldn't stop either because I would... Yep. I wouldn't want to get near the dead body. Yep.
I'm too busy living. Ah, car.
Yeah. Get out of the way, you deadbeat.
Come here. Yeah. Good
thank
one.
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Well, anyway, the eyewitness who helped get the body into the van also said that is the most bizarre thing he had ever seen. The Bucks County Coroner's Office says it, quote, deeply regrets the incident.
Really? Course. You regret dropping a body in the middle of the road.
Yeah, it's not going to look professional.
No, not at all.
All right, you ready for our next story here?
Yep.
All right, we're going to Seattle for this one.
Okay, Seattle. They're known for weird stuff.
Officers in Washington State are searching for the person who randomly donated 3 human skulls to a charity thrift store.
Oh, that's very eerie.
Yeah.
I see dead people.
Yeah.
How does someone come into possession of 3 human skulls?
Well, that's what police are asking in King County. The King County Medical Examiner said in a statement that 2 of the skulls were from adults and appear to have been used in a medical clinic for instruction.
Okay, so, I guess it could be legit.
The third skull is very old and appears to have belonged to a Native American. Which is a problem because state law requires Native American remains to be returned to the tribe that it came from.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope no, like, grave desecration is going on.
Yeah. The medical examiner is asking whoever donated the skulls to provide some details without penalty so that the Native American skull can be returned to the tribe where it came from.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't sound like there's foul play involved because 2 of the skulls were used for medical practice, you said, right?
Yeah.
So,
but it's still weird. Why do you have 3 human skulls on
Yeah,
you?
Yeah. Well, there's some people that like dark stuff like that, you know?
But yeah, like...
That's
And why
creepy.
Do you think a thrift store is going to want to sell them?
How's a thrift store supposed to... I guess people... There are people that would buy it, I guess.
Yeah.
That's very strange, though. Very, very strange.
You want a human skull? $9.99. 3 for $25.
We're running a special on human skulls today.
Yeah.
Buy 2, get 1 free.
Get your human skulls before they go.
Limited supply.
All right, you ready for our next story here?
Yep.
All right, well, you know what?
Is it time?
It's time. Florida,
okay.
Florida took a break last week.
It's coming back with a vengeance?
It's time it's time for Florida to make its triumphant return. It's time for this week's Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yep.
Now, I just want to point out real quick, last week when we had our first odd news with no Florida story, it made us realize that we had probably
60-some straight episodes with a Florida Story, right?
It's something long.
So this time I figure we'll actually keep a tally of how many Florida Stories we accumulate and how many podcasts in a row we have a Florida Story. Because longtime followers of the show know that it's a lot.
It's Florida and they're crazy.
It's so much we have a theme song.
We do. And you know what? We're interested in getting to the bottom of the numbers and finding out just how many.
Yep.
So starting today, we're doing a Florida counter. So every week we'll keep you updated. So this is the first Florida story since the Florida drought. The great Florida drought of 2014.
Oh, 4th of July.
Okay. So the first Florida story back from their break. What is it, Rich?
All right. Well, yoga is a great way to keep fit. But doing it half naked in the middle of a road is a little bit of a stretch.
Oh, a stretch.
Well, that's how police in Ocala, Florida first saw Michelle Renee Cernak, a 51-year-old. Witnesses called police after they noticed Cernak doing yoga around 3:30 p.m. just a few blocks from a middle school.
Oh, this story is awful. In the middle of the afternoon, an old woman, not old, but middle-aged woman is doing yoga next to an elementary school.
Naked.
Naked. That's not good.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yes, they are.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Not for the kids.
Well, in between various yoga stretches, she slowly removed various bits of clothing.
So it's like a yoga striptease.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what this is. Namaste, namaste, namaste.
Well, they do have the downward dog pose, don't they?
Yeah.
If only she was 30 years younger, am I right?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Since she was 51?
Yeah. By the time police officers arrived, she had her pant legs around her ankles.
Did they stay for the show or did they arrest her?
Cernak was doing her stretches in the middle of the road. She had her gold Chevy GMC pickup truck on the side of the road still running.
She's wasting gas at that point.
Yeah. So she's just driving along, and then all of a sudden she has the need to do yoga.
I have
naked.
The sudden overwhelming urge to do naked yoga in the middle of the street.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Well, guess what? We have a reason.
Was she drunk?
Officers searched her still running vehicle and found bags of heroin
and heroin.
A crack pipe.
All right.
Yep, she was loaded.
Florida is back.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Hey, come on, the other stories are great. But this is a cracked-up 51-year-old naked woman doing yoga at 3:30 in the afternoon outside of a middle school.
Yep.
Where else do you find a sentence like that other than Florida?
Florida is back.
Florida is back.
Cernak was arrested on possession of a controlled substance without a prescription, possession of heroin.
And all that other weird stuff.
And possession of drug paraphernalia.
The public nudity wasn't a problem for them?
You know what? At that point, they dropped that charge.
They're like, all right, we got you on enough.
Yeah. She is currently in the Marion County Jail and is in lieu of a $5,000 bond.
Well, you know, we learned earlier in the episode, she can just write a note.
Right.
Remember?
Write an IOU.
You can write an IOU.
That'll take it. Okay. But, yep, naked yoga at 3:30 in the afternoon. Why not?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
All right. Ready for our next story here?
Of course.
All right. Now we're going to go to South Carolina.
I don't know if we've ever been to South Carolina.
I think we did once.
Maybe. All right. So what do we got in South Carolina?
A South Carolina woman is cooling her heels in jail after she allegedly stole underwear from a Dollar General store and then attempted to make her brave getaway in an ice cream truck.
You know what? I think I see a crucial flaw in this plan. It might, maybe, could be the loud music coming from the ice cream truck.
Yep.
Which the police probably followed.
Lessa Ian was arrested and charged with shoplifting after she allegedly swiped two pairs of underwear from a Dollar General in Rock Hill.
I didn't know that dollar stores sold underwear.
Apparently.
Would you trust underwear from a dollar store?
Probably not. The suspect...
It's a defective underwear.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, enough of that. So what happened with this?
The suspect reportedly put the underwear in her purse and tried to leave without paying. She then fled into a white ice cream truck.
But didn't she, how did she get there? Didn't she drive? Wouldn't she just take her own car?
Apparently
or was
not.
She planning to eat the ice cream later?
She wanted to enjoy her underwear and her ice cream.
How do you enjoy underwear and ice cream together?
You don't want to know.
Oh, okay.
Surveillance video at the Dollar General shows Eon swiping the undergarments. This is not her first time being charged with shoplifting, so she is in jail on a multiple counts of shoplifting in the past.
You know, I quite enjoy the ice cream truck music in the background of these stories.
So
just
happy.
Keep it going. Yeah, just we'll just keep it going for all the odd news.
It just makes you happy.
It does. It makes the odd news seem very bright and cheery.
Yeah, why not?
People on drugs. People
I stole shooting. Underwear from a dollar store.
People shoot heroin in Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, they're going to say Chuck E. Cheese.
Well, there you go.
Oh, boy.
Stealing an ice cream truck to get away. Yeah, that's a big flaw because you're going to have kids running after you.
Yeah. And the police are looking for the escape for the criminal. You know, just follow the stream of kids chasing the ice cream truck.
Yeah, just follow that huge truck with the vanilla ice cream on top. The vanilla swirls.
Oh my god!
It's not even like you can hide behind a building. There's a vanilla swirl.
They put out an APB. Yeah, what's the suspect driving? An ice cream truck. What's the make and model? It's an ice cream truck. The crazy escape vehicles continue.
Yeah.
Didn't a few weeks ago we had somebody try to escape on a riding lawnmower?
Yeah.
These criminals. My question is, they get there somehow. They get to the scene of the crime. And then when they're escaping, it's like their mind just leaves them and they grab the dumbest vehicles ever.
Yep.
A riding mower, an ice cream truck. Like, why don't you just leave in the vehicle you came in? Or run? Why take a truck that is blaring music? Alerting the police to your position. It just seems completely illogical. But
she only stole two pairs of underwear. She could have ran.
Yeah. And it's not like she was carrying a TV.
Yeah.
And really, you don't have the $2 to pay for the underwear.
Yeah, this is a dollar store.
If you're that desperate for underwear, what are you wearing right now?
She's commando.
Is she going commando?
She has to be.
That's why she needed the underwear.
Yeah.
So this was a crash. This was a crime of need, right?
I don't know.
I feel bad for her. Well, at least she'll get clothes in prison.
Yeah.
So
they have plenty of underwear in prison.
Yeah. So there's one positive there.
All right. You ready for our last story here?
Yeah. I can't believe it's gone by so fast. But what's the last story?
All right. Oh, we're going back to Seattle.
Wow.
I didn't even realize that.
So a lot of doubles this episode.
Yeah.
Massachusetts, Seattle.
Our area.
Our area, yeah.
Damn.
Florida's losing so far in the new count.
Yeah.
Behind both Seattle and Massachusetts. Not good, Florida.
Yeah, come on, Florida.
All right, but so what else does Seattle have for us?
A Seattle couple called police after they returned to their condo and discovered that it looked like a scene from Paranormal Activity. The place was completely trashed, and their mail and clothing had been strewn throughout the home. As a result, they thought that a ghost was in the place.
Okay.
So first...
Why do they jump automatically to ghost? So this couple... it's a couple, right?
Yeah.
Think that a ghost messed up their house.
Yep.
Okay, but what was it really?
Well, so they...
'Cause it wasn't a ghost.
So as they called ghost... investigators, they were also searching more of the home. They found that there was smeared lotion on a door handle. All of their inner soles were removed from all of their shoes. A single screw was randomly screwed into a piece of scrap wood.
This is a very strange ghost.
And an upside down can of paint was placed on top of the toilet.
Okay.
So, yeah.
These are all very weird things.
This is a very, strange ghost or whatever.
Yeah.
Need to...
My God, that scared me.
Yeah. Need to, need to call some Ghostbusters if you think this is a ghost.
Yeah, really? So, they called the Ghostbusters, though, didn't they? Or they called ghost police or investigators?
Yeah, whatever.
All right. The magic police. The ghost police.
Yeah. Well, as they were searching through the home, then they found a random purse.
Ghostbusters! Sorry.
Yep, there you go.
Go ahead.
Well, then they found a random purse.
Ah, a ghost purse.
Yeah.
With ghost coins.
And the purse had a 27-year-old woman ID in it.
Ah, a ghost woman.
After they found the purse with the 27-year-old woman ID in it, they then called the police. So then the police officers were called to the scene, and they decided to do a thorough search of the house. Then they started hearing noises from under the bed.
It's the ghost! I'm telling you, it's actually a ghost!
Well...
No, but what? It was the lady, wasn't it?
Instead, it was the lady, and she was on a meth rampage!
Don't make me assume my ultimate form!
Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth, have some fun. Meth, 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 meth.
Yep.
I knew there was a reason you pulled that clip at the beginning of the show.
The mystery woman was in the middle of a meth panic attack, and she ran all throughout the room screaming, "I'm in trouble! I'm in trouble!"
No kidding. Obviously, she wasn't on that many drugs, because she realized she was in trouble.
Yep. According to the police department, the woman also informed that I'm on a meth rampage.
She said that.
Yep.
That was polite for her to inform everyone of that. Stay back, people. I'm currently in the middle of a meth rampage. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth. That's actual audio from the event, I think.
Yep. With that mystery woman appearing, it was obvious that it was not a ghost.
I don't know. She could still be a ghost. I don't know. I still don't understand why the couple went straight to ghost.
People believe in ghosts.
Okay.
When the police were finally able to subdue her, she was arrested and booked for investigation of burglary.
What? What?
Investigation of burglary? What the hell does that mean?
That's got to be a typo.
Yeah.
Investigation of burglary?
No, I think she was arrested for burglary.
You're arrested for investigating that burglary.
How dare you investigate?
You're arrested for observing that crime.
Yeah.
What?
You're arrested. No, you're arrested for observing the ghost making all this mayhem throughout the host and not throughout the home and not doing anything about it. That's your crime.
Oh, you got to watch out for that one. It's one of those lesser known laws here in the U.S. Yep.
If a ghost is...
If you observe a ghost crime, it's your duty to report it. And if you don't, you can be held responsible for it.
Yep. Maybe there was a ghost and like it's scared
hiding from it.
It's a ghost is so scary that it made a
made her take meth.
Yeah, it made a woman who was on
I'm so scared. Give me all the meth quick.
I need to see something else besides this. Yeah. Give me the meth. So,
oh, man.
There you go. America, it's not ghosts.
It's meth.
It's meth. Yes.
It's not ghosts. It's meth.
We are calling on behalf of people to stop being so superstitious.
I just realize it's meth.
If you think there's a ghost in your home, no, it's meth.
It's meth.
Crispy Noodle 2014. Thank you very much.
Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth.
And there you go. That's what I have in the non-fortune cookie odd news. Well, you know what? We need to put together all of our thoughts and everything that we've come together and learned on this show. And we like to synthesize all that information into our wrap-up segment. It's time for What Have We Learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have we learned on this episode?
We've learned that the Chuck E. Cheese trilogy has come to a close, Rich. with two brawls and a drug bust.
If it is going to be a trilogy.
Ah, that's right. It could be a saga. You never know. I just hope it doesn't come out with a crappy prequel trilogy.
No. It won't.
Okay. We also learned that if you shop at Whole Foods, you have a danger of getting cayenne pepper thrown in your face.
Yeah, those prices are too expensive.
Yeah, at which point you should blame Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Because apparently he sets the prices at Whole Foods, as you explained to us earlier.
Damn you, Mark Wahlberg!
That was a good impression of yourself.
Thank you.
That was really good. We learned that police in Massachusetts have a tough time stopping people from pooping on trains.
Yeah, what? And you know what? I've learned something. People will poop on anything.
They will. If there's something to poop on that can be pooped on, people will poop on it.
Should be a new Rule 34 or something.
Rule 35. If it exists, it's been pooped on.
Yeah, right. Something like that.
Rule 35. You heard it here first, people.
Get on that,
Internet
Anonymous.
We've also learned that the Eagles haven't won a Super Bowl because Jeffrey Lurie is actually acting as the Providence police chief and is focusing too much time on stopping people from pooping on the trains.
Yeah.
Again, the poop on the trains. It's,
yeah.
It's stopping our beloved Eagles from winning a Super Bowl. We've also learned there's a version of heroin called Bioshock, which we thought was strange. We've also learned that Florida is back with a vengeance.
Yep.
A naked 51-year-old woman does yoga in the middle of the street, in the middle of the afternoon, in front of a middle school.
Yep. Take that, rest of the world.
That's right. We learned that you can write an IOU to get out of jail.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. So keep that one tucked in your back pocket.
That works in California.
Apparently it does, yes. And finally, we've learned that it's not ghosts. Rich, what is it?
It's meth.
It's meth.
That's a PSA from the Crispy Noodle. If you think you have ghosts in your house, it's meth.
Yep, always meth.
And there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
What a show, Mike.
Another great one. We got to see the glorious return of Florida to the Odd News. What more could you ask for?
Yep, Florida is back. Thank God. Well, you know what? This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more on the Crispy Noodle, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. Follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can get some of our favorite highlights and also see some of our awesome videos. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, where you can get the latest episodes downloaded for free straight to your computer, your MP3 player, your phone, your tablet, and yes, even your refrigerator, probably in the future.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Don't that's forget about your refrigerator television podcasting
you thing. Said I had to mention it, and I did.
There you go.
But you can take the podcast with you wherever you go. You can take it to work, take it on the ride. You can listen to it anytime, anywhere you want to. Just search for the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right. And if you're not doing anything Wednesday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., check out Totally Driven Entertainment's Blog Talk Radio page, because that's where we debut each week's new episode first and foremost. But if you can't make it to that, subscribe to the podcast so that you can download each new podcast every Thursday, and you can listen to it wherever, whenever you want to, period. No ifs, ands, or buts.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page as well, don't we?
Yep. That's where you can get little mini noodles, where we have minute or two promos of the best of each week's shows. And it's a very easy and fun way to share the madness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So plenty of ways to share the Crispy Noodle and get in touch with us. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. And that's where you find us on Twitter. But you know what? I think for now that's going to do it.
I think so.
This is the Crispy Noodle. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth, have some fun. Meth, 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 meth.